The Lord gave me this phrase, the sloppy gospel. And I'm going, I don't think that the gospel is sloppy. He goes, the gospel's not sloppy, but humans are sloppy. And that's why they need the gospel. You remember, we've been saying for a year now that the gospel has the power to transform your life. The gospel itself, in itself, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ has the power to transform every area of your life. So if you find a place that's broken, shut down, not working, not functioning, then we don't go, oh my, we go, where is the gospel needed in this area? Does that make sense? The question, our job then is are we willing to let our sloppiness be reviewed by the gospel? Because we find our sloppy all over the place. We run into each other. We got stuff in our marriages, stuff in our homes. We got issues that we can't think of. And so we want the gospel to have a bearing on what it is we're actually facing in the day to day. I continue to run into people that act like Jesus is irrelevant today. Irrelevant. It just doesn't even matter that you're a Christian. And I'd say, you have a false gospel. That's my answer to that person. You don't know the real Jesus if you think that Jesus doesn't have the power to impact your life on a day-to-day basis. So I've been in such a season of crushing that I have more faith now than I've ever had. And it's not been because things have been good. It's because things have been in the shits. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And because they're in the shits, I know who my Redeemer is. Mm-hmm. So there's something about being very emphatic about the phrase that the Lord gave me. I was going to talk to you about it earlier, is that you want to figure out, you have opportunity to figure out what is your foundational core. You're always being asked every day, what is your foundational core? Because layer upon layer, the Lord is trying to build up truth for you. And so we don't, the phrase that he gave me is, we let the lie that we're experiencing be crushed on, shattered on the truth of God. And this was the picture that he gave me. Lies are coming against me. Lies are coming against you every day, all day long. Lies are coming against us, but they're shattered on the word of God, on the truth of God. Or we are crushed by the lies because we don't have a foundation. Does this make sense, the visual picture? And so what do we do then is we work on the foundation. We work on the truth of God in our own life so that when the lies come against us, they are crushed on the truth instead of us being crushed by the lies. Most of the people that you know that are floundering, if they got a different truth system, their entire world would be turned around. Is that not true? Is what I've said not true to you? Think of every person that you know is struggling. If they got a different truth system, would their life not be better? I can't think of one situation where it wouldn't be better. They have a belief system, and their belief system is inferior to the truth of God. And so, therefore, they're suffering because of it. Does this make sense what I'm saying? Let's just talk about that a second. What does that mean? What does that mean, what I'm saying? Like, I'm thinking about people that I think about my brother. My brother has a long history of such sadness. Terrible. I mean, he just had a terrible life. Anybody that knows my brother goes, he just had such a terrible life. And my brother has refused to ever align his life on the truth of God. So he's just like got this truth system where he's just got his own way of thinking. Does this make sense what I'm saying? So one shift of his life, I believe that the Lord would just do something completely different. So who's somebody in your life that you can think of that their truth system is out of whack and you see it show up? Does this make sense what I'm trying to say? Help me here.
Yes, I think I'd like some more concrete examples. Like when I think of my own life, I'm going, okay, if I'm spinning out about finances and provision and oh me, oh my, how am I going to pay the bills? Like if my truth system is, I believe it's all on me and I'm stuck, hopeless, can't, don't know how. That's one reality. When the truth system you're talking about is Jesus' blood and resurrection means that there's power and possibility and he's my dad and he's going to provide and he's going to give me steps for walking into something that's real and tangible, right? And if I believe that, that makes a difference in how I walk it out. Is that what you're talking about?
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Because listen, here it is. There's a difference between feelings, fact, true, and truth. Feelings, fact, true, and truth. And I'm telling you, the Lord gave me this an hour ago, because I've been going, I have no idea. So it's like, I'm going to try to strain this out for you as a way that's making sense. And the Lord said, we live out of feelings and facts and what we think is true. And the Lord's truth trumps all of that. And when the Lord's truth trumps all of that, it changes the way we live our life. Thus, the thing he told me, the react versus respond really should be first. Respond versus react. Your feelings and the fact and what you think is true causes you to live in the state of reaction. You're constantly reacting to the stimulus around you. But there's a truth that helps you respond in kind. Listen to, help me, Jesus. Listen to what I'm trying to say, spirit to spirit. The truth causes you to respond because you have a surety, because you have a confidence, because you have a stability, because you have a foundation that is immovable. My truth, the truth of God, is immovable. So when I respond, it produces in like kind. Does this make sense what I'm saying? The truth reproduces truth. The truth of God reproduces truth when I respond in Him, as opposed to like these feelings and all these emotions and what I think I see, which is human. God understands it, has so much grace for that. And there's this process about us getting to choose, constantly getting to choose, which has our attention. So I'm going to just give you some outrageous comments. Just some outrageous comments. And I just want you to pay attention to your when I say them, okay? Because we are all tempted. I don't think I've really thought about that. We're all tempted to react. We're all tempted every day to react. So here's my outrageous comments. He's a Republican. She voted for Hillary Clinton. She's pro-abortion. He molests little girls. She likes Trump. He's gay. I've been raped. I hate blacks. I hate whites. There's no such thing as global warming. There is no God. Christians are stupid. This is the world you live in every single day. Constantly reacting. React, react, react. Social media just is a feeding frenzy. But then what happens when you get in your own home, in your own relationship, in your own little world, and you hear comments like, I hate you. I can't trust you. It will never get any better. You don't do what I say. These comments, these things that we say to one another in relationship in an ongoing way, that we have an opportunity moment by moment to learn how to respond based on truth with the Lord instead of reacting to the stimulus around us. So layer upon layer, you're working on the age you're at right now today. You have an existing truth system with God. And every single day and year, you're building on your truth system of God that just gets stronger and firmer. And so you're trying to make sure that the truth of God becomes stronger than your ability to react to any given circumstance, any given comment, any given thing. Because reacting is what you've been trained to do. And the Lord is retraining you to mirror His truth. Did you hear what I just said? The Lord is training you to mirror His truth on the earth today. So, therefore, because He's training us to speak like He speaks. Laura says this, see like I see and love like I say, love like I love. I would also say, speak like He speaks. Say what He says. So to use Laura's example, we don't say, we don't have any money and God's not coming through for us, because that's not the truth. That's a feeling. That's a reaction. That's a fear. That may be all those things. Those things feel so real to us. There's a difference between feeling real and what's truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? I feel crazy stuff, but that doesn't determine the truth of God. And so that's where you let that what I'm feeling and what my reactions, it has to land on the truth of God, and God has the final say. So he's constantly trying to retrain your thinking. So in Laura's example, it's like, what do you do? And Laura, you just put it out there, so I'm just going to pick on you.
It's fine.
You know, what do you do with Laura's example? Laura comes back to, what is the truth about God? What is scripture about God? What do I count on about God about money? Because what we know is that if you have a money struggle, God's trying to give you an upgrade in what you think about him as a money manager. That's what we know. You haven't, like, take any issue in your life, whatever it is, anger, disconnection, hatred, I don't know what your thing is. God's trying to show up right there in that moment to show you more about who he is and how he would act if he were you. And he's retraining you. He's retraining everything you've learned up to this day to so that what you might say sounds like him. So for me, I've already gone through the teenage years once. I'm going through teenage years again. You guys know the situation. And the Lord, I would love to be able to tell you, I've been walking with the Lord for such a long time. And the Lord catches me in mid-sentence and go, that does not sound like me. You cannot say that. And so that's what I'm talking about. My feelings, my reactions, my desire to do my own truth only goes so far because the Lord says, no, you are to sound like me. You're to love like me. You're to move like me. You're to believe like me. Why? Because he lives here. The truth system of God is your paramount plumb line. And so everything that you think and do comes against the plumb line of, does this work and sound like Jesus? Amen?
Amen.
It's a tall order. I really get it. But here's that line in that song. I'm trying to remember why I chose that second song. And it was that long. I don't want to abuse your grace. I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever makes me want to change. So I I went out of town, which was a gift and very taxing. And I heard that song for the first time. And I just played it on repeat. I don't want to abuse your grace. I don't want to abuse the grace of God that he's shown to me. And I don't want to act like this is as good as it gets. Are you guilty of that? Of acting like this is as good as it gets. I'll take it from here. It's never going to get any better. Because that is denying the grace of God at work in the world today. In your world today. And then also being aware it's only his grace that ever makes me want to think that it could be better. That's the grace of God. That's a gift of God. That I know that God could do something better. He will do something better. So let me just give you a couple of scriptures that the Lord's kind of been walking me through in this process. It says, the Lord's been talking to me a lot about a fitting word and an apt word. Proverbs talks about it all the time. Proverbs 15:23, it says, a person finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. I don't know if you read Proverbs, but if you want to get your heart under control, which means your mouth will get under control, go back to Proverbs. Talks about a fitting word. And then Psalm 19:4, that may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Like all that, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. See, that's someone who's aware that truth is more important than what I feel, and I'm responsible. That was Psalm 19:4. You know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago about the one who confesses and renounces their sin finds mercy from Proverbs 28:13. So there's something really beautiful about understanding how what we allow, I'm so in the world of respecting the process. That's the land that I live in. And so the Lord has been talking to me about how I've been reading this interesting book called, I just lost the name of it, Poverty, Riches, and Wealth by Chris Vallotton. And it's been a real game changer for me. And it's actually challenged things that I've thought for 30 years as a Christian. It really has. And it's one of the things that he says that really caught my attention is that the Lord in Scripture supernaturally provided wealth on multiple occasions. Do you know what I mean? Jesus had a fish, that money came out. You know, there's times that he just brought stuff out of nowhere. The Lord himself did it. But he did not do that with Solomon. And that Solomon made, God gave him the ability to create wealth. And he said that there were four things that Solomon possessed that changed his status and the way that he went forward in living. This is a gift from the Lord, but it wasn't money. He didn't give him money. He gave him these four things instead. I'd like for you to write these down. This is a prayer that I have been just asking the Lord for since I read this. He gave Solomon supernatural wisdom, favor, excellence, and creativity. Supernatural wisdom, favor, excellence, and creativity. Now, that sounds so beautiful for Solomon, but we know, obviously, that Jesus carried that as well, correct? And so we know that because we have the Holy Spirit, this is also ours, supernatural wisdom, favor, excellence, and creativity. You just maybe haven't necessarily heard it in that kind of language. But there was one thing that God spoke to Solomon twice in a dream, that he said, I'm really proud of the fact that you didn't ask for anything that you just wanted to... you wanted to please me, in Kings it talks about. But God spoke twice to Solomon. He said that he cautioned him twice that he would, let me see if I can find the scripture where it has it. The Lord said to him, I've heard the prayer and plea that you've made before me. This is 1 Kings 9:9. I've consecrated this temple which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, speaking to Solomon, if you walk before me faithfully with integrity of heart and uprightness, as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne on Israel forever, as I promised David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. So Solomon has approached God. This is what I think I want. Wisdom to know how to do this. God was so pleased with that. He said, I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you all this too, which tells you a whole lot about the heart of God. People view God as a stingy, tight-fisted, won't give, won't do, won't show up. But God's always looking for a surrendered heart. And God was so concerned about Solomon's heart. He appeared to him twice in a dream and said, don't forget your heart. Don't forget your heart. I'm going to give you all this stuff. But don't forget your heart, because you can lose it because of your heart. And then that is exactly what Solomon did. Later on, you see in chapter 11, that Solomon loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter. And he was told to not intermarry with them because they would turn your heart. Surely they will turn your heart. They will turn your heart after their gods. And nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love, and he had 700 wives and concubines, and his wives led him astray. And it says, as he grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of his David, his father, had been. And it says, verse 6, so Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely. So I'm trying to up the ante for you that you understand very clearly that we're playing for keeps. This is like not some social exercise. It's a spiritual way of living before the Lord in all circumstances. So when the Lord says in Luke 10:27, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. He meant that. He's not playing games. He's not mincing words. He's not doing some like kind of whatever you think. He's saying, I want it all. I want it all, and I will empower it all. He's not just asking for this life of surrender. He's saying, give it to me, and I will do more with your heart, soul, mind, and strength than you can do on your own. Because otherwise, why would he want it? There's something really beautiful to the Lord about surrender. So when it comes back to how do you respond versus how do you react, there's something about, this is where it gets real sticky. Our reactions show us what we believe.
Ouch.
Your reactions show you what you believe about you. Your reactions show you what you believe about other people. Your reactions show you what you believe about God. Let me just tell on you myself. You know, there's a Proverbs I had in here. Oh, here it is. Proverbs 12:16. A fool shows their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlooks an insult. Do you know that this is the gospel truth? Somebody canceled on something today that they had committed to. I got this check. Oh, something came up. Not going to be there. And I just went, oh, shit. That's exactly what I did. Shithead. And the Lord immediately brought that proverb. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but the prudent overlooks an insult. Okay. Right? Because your reaction, I don't think that that person's a shithead. That's my reaction. Then the Lord's going, it's not okay. That's not okay. You may think it's okay. You may think you're just being human and having a hard day. It's not okay. Because it's a foolish thing for you to speak out what you've just done. Do you understand? So it's like you want to be mindful about what you're thinking about. Think about what you're thinking about. So let's talk about your reactions and what do you tangibly, tactically do about your reactions and your responses. Because I'm not saying you should never react. I'm saying that you have got to learn to master your reactions. And the way that you do that is you bring them into a greater truth. It's like we don't say we're never going to react. That's not even realistic. But you're trying to get your reactions to be conquered, actually overcome by your response about what's really true. So when the Lord says, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? That's all of you. That's your body. That's what you can produce. That's your mind. That's what you think about. It's your emotions. It's what you feel. It's your spirit. It's where you're connected to the Lord. So when he says, when you're reacting and it shows you what you believe, you try to stop in the moment. And these are the things that you ask. Is this true? Is this noble? Is this right? It's just straight out of Philippians 4. Is this pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? God didn't put that passage in there just so that you could put it on a t-shirt. He gave you, what's that? I can see the picture in my mind, but I don't know the word. Like a grid that you run it through this matrix. Oh, I don't even have to go there with this. This just needs to get flushed.
Flowchart.
Huh?
Like one of those flowchart things.
Yeah, like a ding, 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 ding. Just kind of let it work through there. So, but let me just press you on this one thought about, do you actually know what's true? Do you actually know what's noble? Do you actually know what's right? What's pure and lovely and what's admirable? Because there's a part of it where these things are not what you say. These things are what God says. What does God say is true? What does God say is noble? What does God say is right? This is totally different. It's a completely different Gantt chart that we're trying, whatever that thing is. That's going to bug me. I'll think about it at 2:00 in the morning. I'll text you guys on the thing.
What verse was that?
Philippians 4:8. It says, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, I want to remind you, what are the four things that Solomon had? Supernatural wisdom, favor, excellence, creativity. And then we see in Philippians 4, hey, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You got to know that your own internal dialogue is not the most pleasant place to be. Amen? Is that true? And you have an enemy that's going, here, take this. Here, take this. Here, take this. So you've got this duality of this thing going on all the time. And if you're not careful, that will become stronger than this thing right here. So when you're reacting and you're out of control, listen, the number one way that you know that you're reacting, you're out of control, is your peace. Your peace is precious to the Lord. He paid a great price for it, and he wants you to guard it in the way that he guards it. And he wants you to pay attention to when you're losing your shit. He wants you to understand, hey, this isn't my peace. This isn't how I work. And he doesn't want you to charge on. He wants you to stop and go, okay, what am I believing right now that doesn't look like you? See how you tactically in the moment, what am I believing right now that isn't true?
So you walk us through like applying that to things that aren't lovely, pure, true, that are true, like here on earth.
Like, the circumstance is really shitty, truly. But it's not what he says is the ultimate truth, right?
Right, but the reality of it here on earth is... because, you know, like, there's things that, like, you can perceive, and that can be off. And so then changing your perception changes the reality. But then if we're talking about, like, hey, there's some really terrible circumstances out there, and then applying, like, only thinking about what's pure, true, I need to memorize the list, in what's small t truth here on earth, at least.
Yes. So give me a more practical. Let's walk about a practical. I can't do like a vague thing. I mean, I got tons of stuff in my own life, but I'm just going to let somebody else be vulnerable for a minute.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be you. It doesn't have to be you. Do you have like a social thing that you're talking about?
Well, I mean, if you want to say a social thing, I mean, you just look at like, I don't know, human trafficking, and then
right.
You're saying, okay, how do I think about all these good things when the reality is different? I mean, I'm happy to go there for whatever other reason, but I mean. For the sake of the conversation, let's, because there's nothing good about that, right? Like, so if you say human trafficking, like, it's a truth, it's a reality.
Yep.
And so, I mean, so we're talking about, you know, spiritual battle, essentially, but the idea of saying, like, just thinking about those things, how do we do that while also thinking about how to interact with.
That's good. I really appreciate you asking that because you're asking something that I haven't thought of. So thank you for doing that.
Because if we're just like walking around thinking about those things, then how do we apply that?
I'm not talking about Pollyanna. So that's the difference.
Right.
Okay, so let's take it this way. Human trafficking is terrible. It's going to always be around. There's nothing we can do. Men are the problem. We hate capitalism because that's what drives it. And none, 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 none. There you go, right? Instead, another alternative is God is raising up people that are going to do something about this. God is after the hearts of the perpetrators as much as he is about protecting the children. God is able and willing and is doing something in the earth today to bring this to end. Jesus also paid for every bit of that sin. So I'm not saying one thing that's good about human trafficking. I'm saying that I don't get swept up in, caught up in the hopelessness and the helplessness of it, because that acts like God is not on the scene, and he is on the scene. And here's another really hard part. You know how I know God's on the scene? Because I'm on the scene and you're on the scene. So God's on the scene. Does that make sense? So it's like, that's a really, really big rock, but it's a great thing to think about. It's like when, I can't even hardly go there because we get so many reactions, but it's like even how you deal with social media. It's how you're dealing with the politics of the day. It's like how you're dealing with any issues. Like, instead of like, oh my God, Australia's on fire. It's terrible. The koalas are dying. Oh my God. Did you guys? I mean, like, it was ripping my heart out. I couldn't even get on social media. It was like they kept posting all this shit on social media. And I'm just like going, stop. And so I realized what I had to do was, this is a terrible thing that's happening. So instead of getting swept up in the reaction and the drama of it, I started praying over Australia. I started praying for God to bring rain to Australia. I started praying for God to bring up people to come to that country to start bringing help. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like, how are you going to live your life? Are you going to live in this constant state of lack and freak out and panic and fear and, oh my God, everything's terrible all the time? Or is your God big enough to take care of every single issue on the planet today? The gospel has the power to transform. Do you believe it? Were you going to say something?
I'm about to say amen.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
There's not one human condition that we're experiencing today that has not already happened in human history in one form or another. Go back and read your history books. And God has still paid for all of that. And it's like trying to get you to willfully, and I do mean that word, willfully, fully your will, grab hold of the kingdom and go, I will not tolerate for the enemy to try to tell me that there's anything lacking in my life, even though I'm yet waiting for things to happen. You're going to change your life if you'll start owning the kingdom of God before you yet see it. We walk by faith and not by sight. What is that? Faith is the evidence of things not yet seen, right? And so there's something about, I'm telling you, this comes from the deepest place of my heart. I had to grab hold of who is Jesus instead of what I see walking around my house every day. Because what I was seeing walking around my house was eating my lunch. And I'm going, this is, actually, I don't want to take 1 ounce of credit. It was the grace of Jesus going, this is not true. But I am truth. Now, which one are you going to live in? It's a conscious choice. So I'm going, you. So then when she says something, there's that react. The Lord goes, you don't have to react to that. What's the truth? See the training? Do you see this continual training? And so now things, because God is so very good, incremental baby changes, I'm calm enough, I can see these little micro changes because I'm not all in this tizzy all the time. Does this make sense what I'm saying? You can't even see God working because you're so busy being manic. Calm the down at the feet of Jesus. And let him be God to you and settle down and wait. Because one thing I know about God is he is going to show his goodness one way or another. You're going to have to just fight this out with God. And I just feel like there's something about, and I say this with all love. I say this with all love. Men get the whole, they're checked out. They don't feel anything. And women need to own too much. Calm down. Get your feelings where they belong, in the back seat, not in the driver's seat. Keep your eyes on Jesus, fixed on him, the author and perfecter of our faith. Come back to what's really true about the Lord. What is that?
Some kind of bug.
Okay, as long as it's not a wasp. And let the Lord be really grabbing hold of you. And let him do his refining work, you know? Somebody said, I have a friend who, and she loves me. She loves me so well. She keeps trying to tell me, girl, it's hard. It's hard. I know it's hard. It's like, it's really hard. I know it's hard. And I'm going, it's a refiner's fire. I'm all right. You're going to be all right. It's a refiner's fire. God's got you. He's not gone anywhere. He has his eye so on you. And so the moment that you think that you're on your own or you have nobody to help you, you've just walked yourself right into unbelief. So the way that you get yourself out of unbelief is you repent and you walk yourself right back into faith. And so it's like us as believers, the reason we come together as a community is we grab each other and we go, what the hell are you thinking? Right? Stop. Laura just did this to me the other day. She goes, what are you thinking? You're not seeing clearly. And I'm going, thank you. She didn't do it like that because she's Mary Poppins. You know what I mean? She's like all, oh, Jen, I don't think you're looking at this really the same way I do. That's what she said. But I walked away from the conversation and I'm going, that's the reason you're in community. Because when you forget the truth of God, you need the truth of God to show up and go, I'm sorry, I lost my mind for a minute. Amen? You did the same thing for me the other day on the phone. It's like you stay in community. But here's the thing is, are you willing to have your heart, soul, mind, strength changed so that you're connecting to the truth of God? That's the goal. There's not any other goal. There's not one thing that you could be working for right now that's more important than you living a life full of the truth of God. And I'm just going to lay that right out there. If there's any goal that's more important to you than walking out of the truth of God, you have an idol. Period. There's no other way around it. I don't care if it's your family. I don't care if it's your children. I don't care if it's your calling. I don't care what it is. There's nothing greater than the life of God lived out in you for his glory. Amen. It's a hard word. I know it. It's where I'm living. Give me some questions or thoughts. Did I answer your question about practical?
No, yeah. I mean, I knew it was there. I'm just trying to...
No, I appreciate it.
And I think there's a piece of it, like, where if I'm going to change my mind to believe what he says, like, take the human trafficking example, am I actually willing to do something like, okay, I'm going to enter into prayer for this, or okay, I'm going to see who's doing something in this field and support that. Like, am I going to act like I actually believe him?
That's good.
Because I feel like a lot of times the place I get stuck is when it's all in my emotions and head. Like, am I going to believe this? Am I going to believe this? Am I holding my tongue just right? Am I thinking like it stays here? And the Lord's just going, if you'll actually believe me and line up with what I said, then act like you believe me. And even if it's like the tiniest thing, like you take a step towards his direction.
That's right? The difference between reacting and responding, right? A response does something as if it believes.
Right, right.
Yeah. That's good.
So, like, if I actually believe he's going to provide for me, then I'm free to give where he asks me to give. Or if I actually believe he's going to give me a family, then I'm going to go get a crib and pray over it. Or if I actually believe, you know, like, these are things that I do because he said and I believe him, so I'm going to do something, even if it seems stupid, to act like I believe him.
I'm going to speak over my teenager who's, right? Hey, you have a great life. I can't wait to see what God's going to do for you. I don't feel that. Last week, I didn't feel that. But I know the truth about God, and the truth about God is he doesn't waste people. God doesn't waste people. People waste people. God doesn't waste people. So I'm speaking to her. That's my faith. Because I want to go, oh, God, I don't know what, you know what I mean? Emotions, feelings, blah, blah. I don't even know how you got here. I spent all my time trying to go back and retrace. And the Lord's going, that doesn't matter. Trying to figure it out is not faith. Faith is moving forward with Jesus into a different direction. I haven't thought that thought until just this minute. Did you hear what I said? Faith is not trying to go back and figure out everything. Faith is going forward in Jesus in faith because I'm going into a different direction. That is faith. So it's like you've got to really pay attention to what the Lord's doing. So I just started speaking over her. I can't wait till your dreams come alive. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. I can't wait. You know what I think about? Here, these are the things I see in you. I haven't seen them in years. I haven't seen those things surface in her in years. But I remembered the Lord just gave me this picture about who she was at 17, who she was at 10, and who she was at 17 months. And he goes, do you remember? And I'm going, oh. So then I could grab all these things that the Lord had shown me and start pouring it into the 17-year-old, even though she forgot and I forgot too. Because what I see is not the truth. What he says about her is the truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now here she goes, and she's come up, and she's got all these, Mom, this, I've been thinking about this. I'm going, huh, that's awesome. I don't take credit for it because I know the Lord is calling that out, but I'm so glad I didn't miss that. I did miss it for a couple of weeks, but I'm so glad. It's like he brings it back around. I don't want to sound like I did it perfect. I didn't. I'm still not.
Can you repeat how you worded that? Faith is not trying to figure everything out. It is
going forward into a different direction with the Lord, believing he's going to do something. There's a difference between waiting on the Lord and trying to do it yourself. A friend of mine told me years and years ago that he was quite strong with me. He said, it's actually unbelief for you to say that you're waiting on the Lord. He said, we're waiting with the Lord. He's right there with us in it. And he is keenly aware, and he's working on our behalf in the unseen places. So if you go to your past with Jesus, and you let Jesus shine the light on stuff, this is where that lie came from. Here's my truth instead. This is where you got broken. This is where I want to offer you healing. I think that's fantastic. But if you keep trying to go back, constantly trying to go back and fix your past has been fixed. My past embraced. My sin's forgiven. You're good. And so I agree with you that you've got to sort that stuff as long as you don't spend too much time back there. So obsessing on things, trying to work it out yourself, trying to always go back. It's like, here's the thing. The kingdom of God is always moving forward. It's always moving forward. And I struggle with that thought myself. But I'm just telling you, all through Scripture and all through the testimony of the saints, the kingdom of God is always moving forward. So we grab all these things that we've experienced. Your experiences were all different. It's part of the reasons that we link arms, because we help each other. Oh, I've gone through something similar. This is how I move forward. But like, we're going this way because the Lord is moving toward glory after glory. There's something very powerful about the reason that you're moving forward. Is if you're not moving forward with the Lord, you're sitting down and quitting, or you're regressing. Do you understand why I'm saying that the kingdom of God is always moving forward? So it's like you're going forward in revelation of the Lord all the time. You're letting the circumstances of the day help drive you forward. Let me give you a clarifying thought that I'm going to... Our experiences have happened to us, have shaped us. But our who we are is set by the Lord. Even in that, it's like we don't let our experiences of what happened to us dictate who we are. Do you know Maya Angelou's story? Do you know who I'm talking about? Raped at 8. She said who it was. He was found innocent. Then he got murdered. She didn't talk for 5 years. Because her belief was that her words held so much power that it could kill someone. So she didn't talk for 5 years. But then you look at who God calls Maya Angelou. Do you know what I mean? Like, from the beginning of the earth, we knew that her words had power. And so the enemies tried to come in and just, boom, shut that down. So you could say her experiences of her life have... You know what I mean? Dictate. I would go, no, I think the enemy was totally trying to shut her down, because God had called her a mighty voice on the earth. She's changed so much with the power of her words. So it's like, even in this idea of our experiences making us who we are, there's an identity that is even greater than that. I think when we get to heaven, this is going to become really clear. We're going to go, oh, we spent so much time on that. So move forward in faith with the Lord. And the way that you do that is His truth surpasses all things. So if it doesn't sound like heaven, I might not have the right truth system. I see a lot of people living in lack in lots of areas. And I would just say that God's trying to show you that's a lie that you're believing about Him. And that's why you have lack in that area in your life. And so finally, sisters, whatever is true... Why don't you just open your hands and just receive this from the Lord? Finally, sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So, Father, we just receive your peace even in this moment. I bless our marriages. I bless our homes. I bless our relationships with family. I bless our money. I bless our health. I bless all the areas that the enemy tries to tell us that we can't, don't, won't. And we just speak the name of Jesus, the shalom of Christ, to come in and bring peace on a supernatural level. And I also bless us, Lord, to get a new concept about what it means to be wealthy in your eyes. That you give us those things, that you're generous, you're so generous, and that you give abundantly. Not actually everything that we think we want, but you give us abundantly. I'm breathing today, Lord, so you're being abundant. Just retrain our eyes and our hearts to hear from you and to just walk it out. I bless us, Lord. I bless these really tough places that all of us are going through, that you want to be God in that moment, that very moment. And you've not gone anywhere, and you're way bigger and way closer than any of us have dared to believe. And so I just thank you for that, Lord. Let the kingdom come in our hearts in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.